This is the Sports Bosses on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Miami, here's Jim Rodriguez and Sean Stanley.
Rolling on here on SB Nation Radio. Good times from the Magic City. Thanks to Chris Gates talking a little Vikings here last segment. Now, let's shift it over to the NBA. You've got the Vikings figuring out what they're going to do at quarterback, and now the San Antonio Spurs seem like they know what they're going to have going on. Let's welcome in on our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans guest line our buddy staff writer at SB Nation's NBA coverage, Tim Cato. Tim, what's going on, man? All of a sudden, Kawhi Leonard seems like he's ready to go. What happened?
Yeah, that was a impressive pump fake, I guess. I think it was just a week ago or at least 2 days ago that we had the report, or I guess it wasn't a report. It was Greg Popovich saying he might be out for the season. He didn't expect to be back for the season, and then, you know, kind of out of nowhere, this other report drops, and it makes sense. I think, as I understand the saga, essentially, Kawhi Leonard has an injury that he disagrees with the severity, or he disagrees, you know, like with the rehab plan. His camp disagrees with what the Spurs doctors have been saying. So the Spurs doctors for a while have been saying that, you know, he can, you know, he's capable of, you know, getting back on the court and starting working out again and all this stuff. And Kawhi's team kind of has disagreed with that. So I guess my understanding is that the reason he might be back, you know, here in the coming few weeks is because, you know, he has reached some sort of understanding, you know, his side and the Spurs doctors, and they've kind of mutually agreed to make another return of the season is what it seems like.
Well, and then there's you can almost take the jaded point of view. There's 200 million reasons why Kawhi Leonard would want to get back in the good graces of the Spurs, because he can make that much money with them in free agency in a couple of years, and he can only make that money with them.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, obviously, he has that to be motivated to rejoin the Spurs and rejoin that team and make things work. No other team is going to be able to give him a contract like that. You know, like you said. So you know, there are many reasons to come around on San Antonio. The money and then all the other reasons. Like, they're just a great organization. Although clearly he's had some disagreements there. So, you know, he might be one of the very, very first players, you know, that I can think of in recent memory to disagree with that and not get along with San Antonio. But I think it's probably in his best interest to figure things out.
Yeah, it is kind of funny because we've always been made a reference that the Spurs are kind of like the Patriots of the NFL. You never hear anything coming out of that organization. They've got things on lockdown, and all they do is win. Is it a pop thing? I mean, if you had to guess, using your intuition as a journalist, what's going on with Kawhi in San Antonio?
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the Patriots, who also recently had them out of it for the first time in a while. It really did, mm-hmm. Kind of echo each other. It's funny how sports work like that. But, I don't know. It's just so weird to think of the Spurs as a team that just wouldn't be, universally beloved by a star player like that, just because of their track record. But, my guess is that it's truly something about the injury that Leonard, perhaps believes that his career could be altered for a longer-term basis, while maybe the Spurs doctors are looking a little bit more short-focused. Not to say they don't care about his long-term health, because they want him to be a star there for a long time, but, maybe that's where the division is coming to some degree. But beyond that, it is truly, a strange situation. And, not at all but anything I would have guessed or assumed would be coming this year.
Do you think Pop essentially having a press conference during shoot around and saying, well, we're just not going to, he'd be surprised if Kawhi came back. Do you think that kind of pushed Kawhi to coming back? Do you think that kind of said, hey, we're moving on without you, buddy, and by the way, we're third in the West?
Yeah, that's a fair question. It's something I kind of thought too, and I think I don't feel like Kawhi is that type of person. So I ultimately don't think that really had an effect. I think that Pop was operating under his best knowledge, and I think that Kawhi had been operating under his, and they ended up meeting the middle when Popovich didn't expect that, just because of what we know about Kawhi, and we know that he's not someone inspired by the haters or always going to social media or stuff like this. But maybe there was some talent there, or maybe he did look at the situation and see Popovich's words and were perhaps surprised by them or something like that, and maybe that did change his whole mindset. So it's impossible to say. My hunch is to say no, but I don't know for sure.
Talking to Tim Cato, NBA reporter and staff writer for SB Nation. You can follow Tim on Twitter at Tim_Cato, C-A-T-O. Now, you're in Dallas. You have you see the Mavericks a lot. They're going through some issues right now. For Mark Cuban, is he in any danger here of between all the sexual harassment stuff that went down within the organization? Now, he's not being accused of anything, but his CEO and then team broadcast, guys that work for the team on the digital platforms, plus the tanking comments. Is he in any danger of losing a franchise or anything?
Right. I know that this has definitely been a question on a lot of Mavericks fans' minds and things like that. And it's clearly as the owner, as the very top person, he does have culpability. That to some degree, stuff that happens in his organization, he has to be responsible for. And the question is how much he's going to be responsible, and also whether the independent investigation that the Mavericks hired, it seemed like, as soon as the story dropped, which was, the right thing to do, if that comes back and it is revealed that he was, in any way covering this up or turning a blind eye to it, I just think that there's some sort of punishment or some sort of something is warranted for Cuban. One thing I've heard floated is just like, maybe he's suspended for 6 months or something. He has to stay out of the public NBA eye. Because trying to force him to sell the team would both be, a huge step to decide that, you've done enough wrong that you can't own this NBA team. And it's also legally very complicated for the NBA. So my guess is that they avoid that altogether. I don't think that a first-round draft pick will be taken. I don't think anything like that. In all likelihood, if there is punishment, it's probably going to be a fine and maybe, some period of time where he's asked to kind of step away from the Mavericks and things, I guess, will resume as normal whenever he's back. But hopefully, obviously, clearly, those are disgusting allegations. And, there's a terrible, predatory culture. Just has no place for that. It's sad and disappointing, even especially to me, who's been around this team for long, to know that this is happening for, kind of under our noses. But at the very least, they're taking the steps to correct it now. And I do think they're taking the steps.
Now, Tim, let's talk about stuff on the court. We've seen sort of the ebb and flow of the Cavaliers. They look so good with their debut of all their new guys against the Celtics, and then they go and they get it handed to them by the Spurs on their home court. Who's coming out of the East?
Yeah, I think I have to say Cleveland, or more specifically LeBron, is the favorite. I think I have come around on that. I like the team. They basically their roster refresh really gambles around LeBron. It plays to his strengths and does ask a lot for them too. I can't think of a championship team in recent memory besides Dirk that really won without a co-star, and he doesn't have a co-star. Kevin Love is a really good player and he's the second best player, but he's not a co-star in the way that Kyrie Irving was. That said, I'm not guaranteeing that. I think that this is the Eastern is as open as it's been. Since LeBron went back to Cleveland, maybe even beyond that, to be honest. I really like Toronto. I really like the way they've been playing and the team that they've got together. And I think Boston is dangerous because, no matter what happens to Gordon Hayward, whether he makes an April return or something like that. So I do think that LeBron's still a favorite. It's still proven otherwise. But, I'm not, I think that he is as vulnerable as he's ever been on that Cleveland team this season. And I think that's, absolutely something worth watching.
Now, moving over to the West, the Houston Rockets, out of their minds right now. 13 straight wins, a very impressive, gutsy win in Utah last night because it was a back-to-back in the altitude of Salt Lake City. Are they for real? I mean, are they going to take down the Warriors?
That's a big step to go from saying they're for real to taking down the Warriors. I they're absolutely for real. Whether they take down, I can't predict, I can't put anyone over a goal with it right now, just because they've earned that right. I do think the Rockets have a chance. I do think that this Houston team is the biggest threat that Golden State has seen outside of a couple LeBron teams that they faced in the finals. So I do really, really like this team and the way they play, and I really like the job that D'Antoni has done. Everybody says he's quick, like speed it up and lots of threes. And, Houston's definitely like that, but they also slow it down and they let their two-star players in Harden and Chris Paul, just work in the isolation because they're both so good at that. Harden is maybe the best isolation player we've ever seen of all time, isolation scorer at least. It's really impressive what they've brought together there, and I really enjoy watching that team play. And I do think, I'm not picking them over Golden State, but I think they have a real chance.
Is Harden the MVP of the league?
Yeah, he is for me. And I love Anthony Davis, who's pushed into the race again. But it's Harden. Yeah, it's Harden.
I mean, have you seen a stretch of games as impressive as Anthony Davis? I mean, a 50-point game last night, 15 rebounds, what, 5 blocks, 5 assists? No one's ever done that in the history of the NBA. And in his last 5 or 6 games, he's been out of his mind. He has been so good, and yet all you hear about is, oh, they're going to trade him, or they're going to trade him. I mean, how good is Anthony Davis right now?
It's such a good reminder because, he's like all the time. And maybe not this exact 3-game stretch or, hitting these peaks, but, he is this good of a player. And I feel like people do forget about him, because he is in the smallest media market of any NBA team. And, obviously his team does have questions, and there are always the trade rumors. But, man, he is so good, and I'm glad that he's finally getting some recognition, even if it took Skip Bayless saying he was the most overrated player in the NBA, and then the Pelicans Twitter took some nice little shots back at him after last night, and those are both enjoyable but also a good way to kind of highlight just how good he's been, and he's great. He's 24, so he's going to be great for a decade.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got the Pelicans in the 5th spot in the West. The Rockets have won 13 in a row. The second hottest team are the Pelicans at 6 in a row. Real quick before I let you go, are you buying any of this possible reseeding of the playoffs and to take the top 16 seeds regardless of conference? Is that good? Where do you see that? Does that have any legs?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I like it personally. I don't think that we're close to implementing it. Maybe at most, or at a few seasons away at most. I personally like it. I think it's best to take the 16 biggest teams. And, I think the travel issue is a thing that has faded over the past few decades. And I also think it's telling to say that the NBA is arguing about, innovative, cool ideas like this, and the NFL is still trying to figure out what it catches. So I think that kind of shows where the two leagues are, and I know that's kind of out of nowhere, but I think it's good for a sport like the NBA to be, talking about really cool new ideas for their sport, and not be mired in, endless controversy about, stuff that should be like the very basic of the sport. So I think it just shows that the NBA is in a really good place.
Yeah, there's nothing more scary than hearing somebody say, well, that's just the way we've always done it, and that's not a way to progress. And I'm a big baseball guy, and trust me, I hear that all the time from the suits over at baseball. Well, that's the way we've always done it. So, and the NBA always seems to be in the forefront of all this. That's Tim Cato, NBA writer for SB Nation Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at @Tim_Cato. Thanks for hanging out with us, buddy.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right. That's brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Yeah, man, we're gonna get the top 16 teams in the NBA. It's going to eliminate – I think you eliminate divisions. We did the math the other day. I think you end up playing something like 3 games against everybody in the league, and then that comes out to something like 77 games, so you're 5 or 4 games short. And you just play your sort of natural rival, if you will. Maybe if you're the Lakers, you play the Clippers one more game. If you're Oklahoma City, maybe you play San Antonio one more game. I don't know. Just to get to it. But I think we're going to see it. Let's take a break. Wrap up this great 2 hours here on SB Nation Radio. It's the Sports Bosses.